The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey everybody, I want you to slow down a minute here. This is Eric Estrada, Ponch from Chips. You're listening to Nerdy Show. Enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it is geeky, then, dear sir and or madam, we have it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this is an episode devoted to the Lightning Dogs.
Howl noise.
You may be asking yourself, what the goddamn is a lightning dog?
In fact, I think Mike is indeed asking what the goddamn is a lightning dog.
I have no idea what I'm doing here. Please help.
Mike Wall from Ghostbusters Resurrection, you will be our sounding board today. Lightning Dogs is a concept accidentally created by myself, Hex, Tony, Doug, and Brian Clevenger during an episode of Nerdy Show. It happened completely by accident. We were listening to a song that was a cover of the Thundercats theme called Lightning Dogs. And we thought, ooh.
Copyright.
Hold on.
By arm cannon.
By arm cannon, yeah. Hold on. Lightning Dogs. What the hell are the Lightning Dogs? And what was supposed to just be an intro to a song we were playing in an episode turned into a over half an hour long discussion built accidentally building the world of the Lightning Dogs. What started as, what if the Thundercats was actually a good show, turned into something completely different.
It's a horrible nightmare. I'm still trying to escape.
Tough.
I'm living the dream.
Yeah. Sir. I don't know what you're dealing with, sir. Like,
nah, he's got buyer's remorse for being around this much awesome all the time with the Lightning Dogs going on, because the Lightning Dogs is the shit.
Yeah, now, you may have noticed Brian is not here. Well, that's unfortunate. Brian is actually balls deep in a ton of amazing projects that we can't talk about right now. But when we can talk about them,
he'll be like,
oh, damn, I totally
that's
understand
why
now.
Wasn't involved. I understand.
However, Brian is still very much involved in the creation of Lightning Dogs, and anything that we come up with during this episode, he's going to know about. He'll shoot back some ideas, and maybe next time we talk about Lightning Dogs, well, here's Brian's notes, or Brian will be there to tell him himself.
And maybe. He'll probably shoot them all down.
Yeah, probably.
Most likely.
Because it's Brian.
So what happens in a Lightning Dogs episode of Nerdy Show? Well, the first episode where we accidentally created the Lightning Dogs was so successful that fans immediately threw $200 at us. So we followed it up shortly thereafter with another Lightning Dogs show. And basically, we're conceptualizing what is an animated series that never existed, but should have, live in front of you.
And hopefully one day will.
Yeah. Well, we have many plans for Lightning Dogs. We're just sort of building the world now till we can get to the point that we have a what's essentially a show Bible, and then we can do a number of things with it. We can write comic books,
Anime pilots, or podcasts, or there's
some ideas. We think we know what we might end up doing, but basically an end product that turns into actual Lightning Dog stories. But in the meantime, we've got this really unique opportunity for you guys to sit in on the writer's room of us conceptualizing this entire series, this entire world the Lightning Dogs live in. Mike Wall, you know fuck all about Lightning Dogs, am I right?
That's pretty much correct, yeah.
Right. If you, dear listener, would like to experience Lightning Dogs in all of its glory, all you got to do is go to lightningdogs.com. Lightningdogs.com. and it will redirect you to the home of all the Lightning Dogs stuff on Nerdy Show, where we have links to concept art, fan art, discussion on the forums, all that good stuff. And of course, the three episodes leading up to this one, where we've successively been building the world bigger and bigger. In a nutshell, the Lightning Dogs are a team of anthropomorphic dog people. They're a military team who find themselves on what was once Earth. It is now known as the Wasteland, and it is where they came from. Because long ago, they were dogs used in interdimensional scientific testing, and were abandoned on a far-off world. They have adapted the technology of their masters from thousands of years prior and have now found their way back to Earth. And they are the second team to go on this mission because something terrible happened. Ruling over Earth is Glampire, a a David Bowie-esque entity with minions of mutants and freaks running this wasteland.
Might actually be David Bowie.
Might actually be David Bowie. We can't say for certain.
Once we negotiate the voice acting rights, then we'll get back to you.
The Lightning Dogs versus Glampire, because, of course, their interdimensional teleportation device, the Farfetch, is destroyed, and in the explosion, grants them certain powers.
Mm-hmm. Lightning-themed powers, if you will.
So, the leader, they're not all lightning-themed powers.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, but it gave them the power.
Yeah,
it gave them the power. And
the beams of light. And
there are certain sparks that emanate off of their bodies as they use the power, so it kind of ties into the lightning theme.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So there's Dingo, the leader, who is a dingo, but it's also just a name that they're not named after the species they are typically. Yeah, it is his name.
We can thank Brian Clevenger and Dingo for that, as opposed to Lion-O.
I got it. All right.
There's Angela, a basset hound, who is the a short, sturdy, tough as nails sharpshooter, who's the oldest member of the team. There's Pierre, who's a French poodle, a mechanic.
He's a panthro surrogate.
And he's a badass.
He's not the mechanic. He works with machines a lot. He's a car junkie. And of course, we conceptualize this as what would make an awesome animated series, what would make an awesome action figure line in the late 80s, early 90s. So naturally, there's vehicles and accessories in mind whenever we design any of this stuff. So they drive around in modded out Mad Max hot rods through the wasteland. Of course. Why wouldn't they?
Tires, the like six pipes on either side, like powered
spikes,
by crystals.
Spikes. Missile launchers.
Like grates everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The works. Nerissa, who's the actual mechanic, and she is a Womeriner. And there's also Cane Corso, who is the other dog named after the species of dog he is, an Italian breed called the Cane Corso. He's the kind of anthropologist, archaeologist type. He's an expert in master culture, what they call the humans.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's the shifty one, right? He's the one that you don't quite trust the whole time because his agenda is his own.
Picture Belloc from Indiana Jones.
Closer to that, in the sense of where it's like his morals may not line up with the mission objective.
And then
isn't there also some Dr. Smith from Lost in Space?
Very much, yeah.
Well, pieces of that, yeah, you could say.
Yeah. And then finally, there's Kid, who is a
product of the 90s.
Yeah, she is all 90s all the time. Actually, last episode, we weren't sure if she was a boy or a girl. We've decided that she's just a very androgynous girl.
And it would fit because she is a mutt. She's not one particular breed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's basically John Connor. She's John Connor mixed with Comic Zone and Sports Acid.
With some kid vid from Burger King.
A little bit of crisscross for the hairstyle. You guys should look at the concept art.
Spat my childhood at me.
Yeah. I would say that she's a teenager.
She's a teenager.
Yeah.
She's the person that the kids watching this relate to.
Okay. In theory, except that she's actually cool, unlike all those the television series where this idea. Yeah. Malfunction completely.
Instead of the network mandating that we include this character, we're creating it from the get-go. Yeah.
Okay. For a good purpose, too, that if we couldn't, you try to force it in later, you shoehorn it in, it wouldn't work. Whereas here, I believe the backstory for her was that she's a troubled teen back on the dog planet, and this is a military operation, but she is like such a genius at what she does, they are basically forced to take her along.
She was in juvenile detention and was basically like, she figured out how to hack master technology. And that's why they pulled her along. They're like, Jesus
nobody
Christ,
else
you're
can do
a prodigy.
That.
Yeah. This is a Unix system. I know this.
Yeah. when she's around in the lab, she'll whirl around on rollerblades.
Yeah,
rollerblades. Even in the broken terrain of the wasteland, we're not sure how physics is going to work in the animated series.
We don't got
to
worry about that. You don't worry about that in an animated series.
That's why I'm saying broken doesn't matter. Cracks, rocks, whatever, inline skates are perfectly fine.
Yeah, they snap on, by the way, in the action figure. You can take them on and off. They got a little peg in the foot.
Yep.
We got to figure high out. Tops, right? Like high tops that snap on. Yeah.
So it's like John Connor meets hackers.
The story reason as to why it's like, wait a minute, rollerblades, why would a dog do that? Well, because she is obsessed with master culture. And all she has are bits and pieces from our human history. So it would make sense that she just looks like a hodgepodge of all this weird stuff. And because she just automatically thinks all of it is cool. Even if it's like, come on, what are you wearing? You know, it's like it still works. So I'm happy with the way she turned out.
We have a legitimate reason for it, but ultimately it's just because it looks cool.
Basically, everything about Lightning Dogs is let's take a ton of things we like and mash them together to create something that's utterly unique and completely awesome
and completely legitimate too.
Yeah,
like there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, it's not all nostalgia.
It's not a spoof.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Like, it's not just a parody of Thundercats. It is not even remotely Thundercats anymore. It's something completely different.
I mean, we have a reason as to what happened to the first team. Wait, what about the second team the is dog? So much more successful.
Oh, Beasthound.
Beasthound. Oh, yes, Beasthound.
Who's like, you know, Snarf fucking sucks.
So we took away the
Bronx,
ability to speak.
Right?
We took Bronx? We took a little bit of Bronx.
From Gargoyles.
4 bajillion pounds of muscle.
Like, there are still wild dogs on this planet, they haven't evolved the same way these dogs have.
Okay. Yeah.
And so Beasthound is one of these dogs that just connected with that.
It's a feral dog. If, like, you know, on that show Earth After People or whatever, where it's like dogs and cats will go into the wild and they'll become like wolves again and just go crazy. Well, in this post-apocalyptic crazy future,
radiation, thousands of years of,
and possibly alien technology. it's just a giant dog
and mixing some magic because Glampire's
maybe
there.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but basically it's just a giant dog.
It's a furry wrecking ball that barks.
Yeah. Okay. And they get there and they don't know really what masters really look like. They're just looking for ancestry stuff. They see this dog on the horizon that's a really big dog and like, hey, maybe that is someone we can talk to. Hey. And of course it's just a barking dog that's a wild animal and it chases them and they just think it's some kind of beast, hence they
especially
start calling
since
it,
they have cars.
Yeah.
You know?
Since they start calling it Beast Hound. Okay. And it becomes like their pet, but it's totally awesome.
And he happens to be there when the Farfetch'd machine blows up.
So he gets powers too.
Okay. Yeah.
Shamefully, it's been over a year since the last Lightning Dogs episode. And that's inexcusable.
But I think about him every day.
Yeah, I know.
I sketch him every chance I get.
We have not stopped thinking about Lightning Dogs this whole time. So in the interim, we've been trying to not talk about Lightning Dogs because we want that to happen on the air, but we have done it a little bit. Like, it's been a year.
Me, Cap, and Brian were sitting next to each other at Heroes Con, and I had a lot of sketching time, so stuff got done, stuff got talked about.
If you haven't been following Lightning Dogs on Facebook, we've uploaded a ton of concept art there for like new stuff, and actually our time hanging out with Brian at Heroes Con led to finalizing some certain aspects of the visual stylings, at the very least, of Nerissa and Kane Corso and Kid.
Which I was so pleased to see, because it's like Tony sits down next to me and he plops the notebook down. He's like, so we did some sketches of, you know, Kid and Kane Corso. And I'm like, oh, man, but if we all weren't there to talk about it, how good. I open up and I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome. it was right on. So I was so happy with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, yep, you did not need me. This is really good.
I'm particularly pleased with Kid and with Kane's Corso. We were thinking about like different aspects to him. I was like looking at like 70s, early 80s businessmen, like people like Eldon Terrell from Blade Runner with the huge fucking glasses and the weird hairdo. I spent a little time dabbling with the concept. We had a concept last time that we came up with of a plant creature that the Lightning Dogs would fight that would be benevolent, like neither good nor evil.
And I still feel convinced that we should push that to kind of be some kind of like Captain Planet like Fallout thing, like it used to be a Captain Planet entity.
I don't know about Captain Planet entity, but he's a creature with an ecological message for kids,
right?
Some
kind of entity that came from the Earth and is now trying to rebuild the Earth in the only way it knows how, and that's just by killing anything that fights plants,
that threatens it. Yeah.
Well, that's not untrue. That is actually pretty on point for I think where all of us are. We're thinking about taking the character for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would be terrified. It's like because the whole stereotype of dogs peeing on trees, you know, it's like the one place you can't go. It's like this is a terrible place we live in.
I'm a tree. You won't want to bark up. It's like, my bark is worse than your bite.
Damn you, Doug! You leave those puns for me.
Write that down
in quotes on the action figure box. Just above the blister card.
Lightning Dogs. I bet you my bark is worse than your bite.
It'll be there. It'll be like Lightning Dogs. We never turn tail. And then at the bottom of the blister pack.
Yeah, I remember the original Ninja Turtles packaging, I think, had like quotes from a character on it. Or at the very least, it was on the like the stupid cutout card where you'd like ruin the back of your thing to cut out. I don't know.
Ruin the packaging that the bar, you know, it's like.
I don't know. I've already torn it up, but I don't know. Like, you're saving both parts of it anyway, but you cut one part out when you could have just kept all of it.
I never saved the box. I just played with the toys.
The back had information on it and the pictures.
Yeah, I was a fan of the show. I knew all that information.
You keep the plastic parts so that you can fill it with water and freeze them in carbonite with your Star Wars toys.
Oh, you freaking genius. Why didn't you ever tell me that?
You never did that?
No, I didn't know that was possible. I've had them fight, dude. That's how you know what. If you buy the if you buy Lightning Dogs toys and you want to make some Diamond Dogs, just freeze them that way.
Oh yeah,
we can't give away the origin of the Diamond Dogs.
We already know the origin of the Diamond Dogs. The Diamond Dogs are, as we revealed in one of the earlier episodes, they're the first team. That were sent there.
For Mike here. They're minions of Glampire.
Okay,
so you basically look back at concept art land.
They came across the Glampire. They fought against him. They lost. He captured them. Made them basically walking diamonds.
His glass spiders spun their crystal webs, mm-hmm. and then they became the diamond dogs.
Okay. And so they're crystalline warriors. It'll be revealed in a future episode that they're actually the
first team.
Because what the Lightning Dogs assume is they're like, oh, Glampires made things shaped like us that fight like us to try to take us down. Isn't that a trope, you know? And it's like, nah, these were your friends.
Emphasis on were.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, which we've even got, I mean, the reason that Cap and I were kicking around as to why that worked that way is... when the first team ran into the Glampire, they too wound up fighting against him, but were not powerful enough to withstand his abilities,
his sex,
his magic, his
sex
power.
The bulge
science.
In his crotch was just far too large for them to deal with.
No one can handle Bowie's balls.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Except the Lightning Dogs.
After they get their powers.
After they get their powers.
So I guess this is a good segue to explain where they get their powers.
Absolutely.
And then so when they're retreating, because everything's going, you know...
To shit.
Because
they cannot compete.
Yeah. Dingo, the leader, makes an executive decision without consulting the rest of the crew. He realizes if they get back to the Farfetch'd, get back to the home planet, there's nothing stopping this bad guy from following them and doing to that planet what he just did to Earth. So he says, no, we never turn tail. And we're going to stick and finish this fight. And he intentionally destroys the Farfetch.
Straight up Stargate.
Yeah. It's
a badass
Stargate,
star over one eye.
They didn't destroy the Stargate.
No, but
that
was originally his plan.
Right. Except now this is... Colonel O'Neil. It's like, don't destroy the Stargate. We got whatever. It's like in this one, no, they freaking destroy the Farfetch. Like there's no way Dingo's going to risk this thing getting loose. And when the Farfetch explodes, because it's using master technology and all this other stuff that they don't know, the wave of energy hits them and they're all covered in it and they get their powers. So I guess, Tony, explain Dingo and his powers.
Dingo has the bark beyond bark. It is a burst of sonic energy that will rip anything to pieces. In fact, one of the concept sketches I showed you was him doing the bark beyond bark. It is one of the most badass things that I've continued to try and draw, and is you know, it's a lot harder to draw a barking dog than you'd think and make it look like an awesome picture, because they don't really pose for it. Just saying.
Yeah, Beast Hound gets laser eyes
because you need an animal sidekick that shoots fucking lasers out
and
of its
the
eyes.
The action figure can have light piping; it'd be great.
Yeah, the action figure, like if you squeeze those two legs together, the red eyes light up. You know, sort of like like the threatening thing. Like, you know, when Superman gets really mad and he wants to threaten somebody, and the eyes light up for just a second, and you go, you know, Superman, I'll do it. Never mind. You know,
not in the special 12-inch version of the figure, you can actually look through the eyes, and it all looks red.
So, that's how Beast Hound sees the world, just all red.
It's okay. You have
Pierre,
the bone. I don't
Pierre,
care.
Pierre, he kind of has a little bit of the Tigra from, because he's super quick. Which ties in. He's
lightning
kind of
fast.
He's lightning fast. He's a martial arts expert to start with. So
you take his martial arts skills and apply the speed to it, then you get a Tasmanian devil of death.
I mean, he's not the Flash, you know,
but
he's maybe the Roadrunner.
It's a good way to put it. Not the Flash.
I mean, not the Roadrunner in that. Oh, he's going to run through a solid object. That's crazy.
Right.
He might kick at the last second of the solid object,
and so he can flip off of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he could probably deliver a pretty powerful punch when you're moving that fast too, because the amount of energy that you gain
it built
you know,
up. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he won't be breaking the speed of light or anything like that, but he's very fast.
Okay, kid is a technomancer.
Well, that's the one of the things we still got to figure out. We still got to cement.
We had a lot of ideas floating around about it, and it sounded like we're cramming so much into this character. Yeah. What the hell are we doing?
But the other one that we do know for sure was Angela Bassett Hound.
Yep.
Which is
not her full name. That's just what we call her.
Angela BH.
Was the smell, right?
Yeah, she's got a super snout on her. I mean, she's based off a bloodhound, so she's got that tracking aspect to her. She's kind of a little wrecking ball to begin with. So now
she'll smell you coming a mile away.
She'll smell you coming a mile away.
And she's a sharpshooter, so she'll fucking shoot you from a mile away too.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She'll shoot you from a mile away, smell your blood, tell you what you had for breakfast. That's like really
from a mile away.
She will know what your final thought was.
You had waffles. Like I'm a mile away. I can't hear that.
As I smelled your last breath escaping your body.
You had waffles and you missed your mom in your last moments. You know what? You're all right. I'll actually bury you.
I'm sorry for killing you.
Kid, Kane, and Nerissa were our most unfinished characters.
They're also the more recent ones to put the finishing touches on.
We talked about Kane being a geomancer.
Which, the one thing that Cap and I were talking about when we were out at HeroesCon was the idea that he would have embarked on a solo mission at one point to sneak into the Glampire's lair, try to pretend to be his ally so that he can master whatever's going on there. And part of the diamondification starts to happen to him.
Oh.
So he's got his right arm is that of a diamond dog.
And I could see that happening later on.
Because of his resistance, he's able to control it because of the power that it gave him, which he didn't really understand until that point, which is the geomancy power of rocks.
Mm. Now, explain to me what you guys thought about the geomancy. Like, what exactly would his power be?
It's hard to say because if you say someone's like outright, you know, like geomancy, be like, well, like he's an earthbender, basically. He can, like, you know, throw a rock up, like he can have a spike of rock come up in the air or whatever. I think that might be overpowering him.
I agree.
Though, to tie into that a little bit, is maybe he doesn't understand it at first. Maybe, you know, he knows and he's not playing it because he's a guy who plays his cards really close to his chest. And then once the diamondification starts happening, it limits his abilities.
Crystallization.
That's good.
We could put it in, if we're staging something visually, it could happen so that what Kane won't see, but the viewers would see, would be like he's looking for something. And the rocks show him something, or like a hole opens up.
More along those lines, I was thinking that I don't know if the earth bending may have been over the top, and what I'm about to suggest may be not enough.
Right.
My idea, because if he's like archaeologist, sort of master expert, also digging because he's a dog, if he could maybe sense things buried, like if you uncover like a doorway that's like master that used to belong to the masters,
yep,
he could touch it and have that sort of psychic sense of like something that was here, not necessarily like go back in time and see it. The idea where that came from is to extend an idea, a power that he already kind of has.
No, I'm with you.
You know, like with, you know, the bark related, the snout related, everything with the exception of the laser eyes, pretty much everything is related to dogs.
Yep.
So him, the digging and stuff, and being able to like bury something and remember where it was. Not really psychic, but super sensitive.
What I want to chip in is that I think a big trend from like 80s and 90s cartoons is you have a power and you develop it over time.
Right.
And so even if like eventually he becomes a full-on earthbender, that's going to be like a late game stuff.
Right.
And at that point, he's probably shown that he is a true villain. And so it takes the whole team to take him down.
Right.
I'm not sure that is his destiny. And
I'm not saying that might be a plot point.
Yeah. And piggybacking off of that, I was going to say that let's look at it as a spectrum. So eventually, earthbending is the end game. Earthbending, that's what his geomancy is going to allow him to do. He starts off with this kind of seismopathy or whatever we're going to call it. I'm with you. I'm piggybacking and I'm developing it along with you.
Okay.
Where he starts that way, he starts to then be able to realize he can actually control the rocks. At this time, he goes on a solo mission, and that's when the crystallization starts to happen, limits his growing power to where now he's got back to just that basic understanding of what's going on and control over what shape his arm takes.
Story-wise, that all makes sense. My only worry is compared to the powers of the other lightning dogs, one guy barks really loud, another girl smells really well, one guy moves really fast, and the other guy has telepathic powers that can move rocks.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's see what else can we develop the rest of it into?
That's what I was going to say. It's like, I think if someone can bark really well to the point where it like basically breaks everything, and one person can move fast, maybe to the point where he eventually develops flash speed level stuff, we need to develop something more for Angela.
Right.
Smell really good.
No, and for Angela, I picture almost like a daredevil type awareness.
That's what I'm saying.
Anything
for
miles. Yeah. She can feel the most subtle shift.
Almost
in the
like a
wind.
Really good tracker.
No,
she has
exactly.
a bloodhound.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's where it started. That's where we'll just make it so that she has total and complete sensory awareness. Through her nose. Daredevil with a schnoz.
An observation that I had made myself was that, okay, we have six lightning dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like a team, you know, sent together. Three of them are obviously more soldier class, and the other three are obviously more
civilian class. So there's like a team within a team aspect here. Like there's the people, the specialists who are there to research and report back, because that's what they're sent there to do, and the team who was there to protect them, obviously, and to fight off any bad stuff that happens. Basically just saying how the way the team can break down, like their powers, I don't know if we want to say that it's like an extension of who they already are or what their species already is or whatever, but what I would not really be too crazy on, at least at this point in time, is having their powers grow to a point where they're basically the Justice League. Like, I don't, because, you know, the thing that makes them really cool is that they have the cars and, you know, they have their own crystal weapons and all of these things. But if these things
need to be good enough to be tools and not be their entire skill set.
Yeah. Right. And I do want to chime in that, like, I thought the lightning dogs, all the lightning powers were supposed to be lightning like, and the geomancy. That's like the exact opposite.
Right. That was two conflicting things that we'd thrown out at one time, actually. And I think that the thing is, like, and this is something we should really confront, and we might as well do it here, is that there's been, Tony and I realized that we were on different pages about this when we were talking Heroes Con. I thought the Lightning Dogs were always called the Lightning Dogs, and he thought they named themselves the Lightning Dogs after the accident, and or that Glampire had called them that. My thinking was that their team, like any military specialist team might be, was called Lightning Dogs, and via the conceit of, like, it's a cartoon show, like, they also got, like, these powers via the lightning, that they weren't specifically all lightning powers exactly. It's just that there's like a certain kind of like energy that emanates from, like, an energy that was trapped within them.
It's the far-fetched energy, really.
Yeah, when they use it, they'll glow or whatever, you know, or there'll be some kind of like visual aspect to it.
Lightning shooting out of their eyes, that sort of thing.
If it's getting real intense, you know.
As far as like, I love the idea of like Pierre getting so angry and moving so fast that like lightning starts to form or whatever, but that's more of like when he's really pissed off. Like, it's like when we see the when Rainbow Dash, Mike, help me out here, what does the super
Sonic Rainbow.
Yeah, like that type of moment.
So they can reach quote unquote Justice League levels, but at like peak only under stress moments.
Yeah, only at the worst moment, and never to get them out of trouble. Like, never as a Deus Ex Machina. Like, you know,
with the possible exception, and I wanted to throw out an idea that I just had as to when Dingo develops the bark, when he first realizes that something weird has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even after Dingo's destroyed the Farfetch, there's still this entire army that Glampire's got that's bearing down on his team.
Right.
Now, bleeding from a gash over his eye, he sees that his team is first in the forefront, because obviously, if they were on the Farfetch with him, they would have tried to stop him at least. So his first action is to scream at the top of his lungs for these creatures to get back.
Right, right, right.
And as he does, and they do. Sonic, they do in a big way.
Yeah.
And
that terrifies him, I'm sure.
That terrifies him, that terrifies the rest of the creatures. Perhaps a hole opens in the ground mysteriously, if we're going to stick with this geomancy idea, that just completely by instinct, this happens. Mm-hmm. And then Beasthound's eyes can glow laser red and guide the team out to safety. But, I mean, one way or the other, that image of Dingo's first act after dooming his team to staying on this planet is to protect them with a newfound
power. That's a good drama moment, yeah.
And I think with Kane's power, like, if he does in fact have it, if we want to, like, I think maybe he should be like, I you know, like, I don't have any powers, if he's going to be Italian.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't understand. You guys all got the powers, but, you know, like,
But not that.
Right, not that. But, you know, like, and it turns out he does have powers.
No,
and they're very subtle.
That's how I'm picturing it. That's how I picture, you know, like this hole opening up beneath them that can attribute to.
I don't think we should even throw it in that early. Like, people need to, like, not
discover it as they discover it.
Oh, because I really like this moment of him being, like, total full-on earthbender that they have to fight against. That could probably be under the influence of the Glampire. Like, the Glampire basically tempts him, going, like, there's more power in you, but and I can unlock it. You can't unlock it yourself.
So he's, well, okay, he's glampatine.
Let me put
he's
it this way. The idea of him being able to, like, sense things and about the earth or whatever, that's all fine and cool. But if he was going to become a full-on earthbender, and if we're going to frame it as saying maybe in a distant story, if he decides to be brainwashed, or if he, not decides, but if he gets brainwashed by Glampire and becomes a villain for a short time, Glampire's powers enhance his powers and he becomes a, you know, whatever badass. But if they end up rescuing him, then his powers go back to normal.
Oh, exactly.
I'm fine with that. It's like, that I don't want him to reach this permanent level of just like
godhood.
Yeah, where it's just like, dude, anything. It's like, oh no, Glampire's minions are coming. Oh, there's a canyon there now. Then it's just
we don't need that scene from Airbender where the Earth Boomy just like destroys an entire city.
Yeah, we don't.
Because
he's
that powerful.
Yeah.
Which no. I'm fine with. I really like the idea of Kane having this geomancy. I do think, I mean, it doesn't exactly tie in with the kind of air element that lightning comes from, but in terms of our dogs
but
and
neither
their power,
does anything else, really.
Nah, which, I mean, so long as his eyes do that little sparky spark, we're good.
But,
I think we're
you
covered.
Know, I mean, and with, what, most importantly, like, it was an idea we had, and it could be interesting, but if we come up with something better, we should go with it.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the character of King Corso then, and it just remove it from the dirt geomancy archaeology thing, just to see. He's Dr. Kane Corso.
Yeah. Right.
Would he be the team's healer, as it were? Like, would he be, like, you know?
No, because he's an anthropologist.
Who does what when someone gets hurt?
Well, they're any of the soldiers are trained in field medicine. Basically,
I picture Angela as like the main kind of medic type person, just because she's the toughest nails. I picture her almost as like the toughest nails mom.
Basically,
of the team.
There doesn't need to be someone who is the go to person. Anyone can grab a medic kit off like, you know, one of the cars and go for it. You know, like it's not a video game. We don't need a healer.
I was actually going to say, if there's one person who knows a little bit more, to maybe make it Pierre. Because right now he has sort of a conflict going on with Nariso as the technological person or whatever. And since he's more of a soldier guy anyway, and plus giving it to Angela Basset Hound would be too, I just like saying it. So please, just let me have this, giving her the skill of being like the healer, like the mother hen or whatever, would be a little too on the nose. But if, but Pierre being the guy who's like, he'll patch you up and do whatever. And then on top of that, Angela is the more true soldier, like she may be the most, she secretly might be like the most badass out of all of them, I think would be.
I don't think that's a secret in the least.
Yeah, but you, well, because like the three of them are soldiers pretty much on an equal level, except that Dingo's the leader.
Angela's got the most experience.
Yeah, she's like the Raphael, I would say.
Yeah, and so I see Pierre being more of the Renaissance dog.
Yeah,
like he's,
you know what, I know
he's the soldier who's also a poet.
I know this is a stupid visual gag, but I picture him reaching into his hair to pull out med stuff.
I don't want that.
No, that's gross.
I don't want that.
Like, let me wrap this up. It's like, was that in your hair? Yeah, all day. It's like,
that's gross. Yeah. I want that scene.
I don't want that scene.
I don't think anybody wants that.
But that scene would be funny. I like funny.
The only thing he should pull out of his hair would be like a bobby pin to like pick a lock. That's about pretty much it.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, someday he can hide something in his hair. But it needs to be appropriate.
He's
not going to be the motherfucker from like Final Fantasy, like a million or whatever, with the fucking chocobo in his hair. You know, like that's stupid.
Yeah. I just picture Nabashin from Exal Saga just reaching into his afro and whipping out two AK-47s.
Yeah, see, it's already been done.
Yeah,
it's over.
He keeps a grenade in his hair.
It's an old gag. It was an old gag in the 80s and 90s to the point that no one really used it anymore.
Eh.
Okay, so
you were talking about Angela having this like scent that made like the sense of smell that made her like Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
The proposed power that we had for Nerissa was something that we called Blind Shot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it was basically a spatial awareness power. It's kind of like she is aware at all times of what's happening around her, which would enable her to know, like, she's an engineer, so she's just got this like knowledge of like all the car parts. Like she was already good before. It gets better. She's so aware of what's going on, she can fire a gun behind her and it'll hit something. But that may be too amorphous.
It's too amorphous.
Okay, well then hear me out for this. What if we sort of do a switcheroo?
Okay.
What if Angela is more of the Daredevil, she can smell it, she can sense it, and she's the unbeatable fetch ball, like she can, the blind shot, sort of whatever you want to call it. That's Angela.
Yes. I'm down with that.
And what if we give Nerissa something that would be useful to an engineer? And I'll tell you what my pitch is. Something that's useful to an engineer and wouldn't be too out of place as part of like the dog thing. It would be more of an extension, but also a traditional power of just like X-ray vision. It's like if they're in somewhere, or she's working on a car, or there's something going on, that she, like, the sight might be more of a thing, like a second sight.
I am entirely down with that, and it can even start manifesting itself early as her being able to see the full spectrum of colors.
That could be, oh shit! Yes!
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, all of a sudden, guys, does the world seem more vibrant to you?
Oh my gosh! Wow. That would be freaking brilliant. I think that's really cool.
That is cool. There's two things, however. One, I'm really worried about Angela being overpowered. She's already the strongest like military character we've got. Right.
Well, then let me explain how I was going to scale that back then.
Sure.
So instead of her being like, okay, she's a military badass who can smell you from a mile away, maybe scale back the length the of range. Whatever, like the range.
Angela can't be the one who can shoot behind her. You know, like the reason I gave that kind of a power to Nerissa is because I wanted to make sure that she wasn't going to be like the token like girl character or Kaylee who like from Firefly, who's a great engineer but kind of shitty in a fight, you know.
Right. So then how about this? We do another switcheroo. Keep Nerissa with the sight. She could spot traps. She can see for a long way. She can see them coming, you know, whatever. She's almost like the Legolas, I guess you could say. Give the sort of blind shot thing, like the extra sensory thing, to Kane Corso. Because Kane Corso, if he's going to be sensing the earth and sort of stuff like that, that can be... I feel like that's a more natural progression starting point.
Perhaps. The only reason that I would say keep the sensory awareness with Angela is I'm not picturing that as something she can tap into all the time anyway. This is the same sort of endgame, like, nth degree. This is Angela, chips her down, shit's hitting the fan. She's got to use this.
But if the shit's already going down, what use is it going to be to smell something a mile away?
That's when it ties into the everything that's around her.
I think it's weird to have these, like, powers that kind of...
They all have a final smash.
No. Right. I'm okay with the power of the final smash. I'm talking about, like, the Venn diagram of powers. Like, if one person has sensory powers, cool. That one person has sensory powers.
Right, right.
I don't want to... We shouldn't have two people with sensory powers, because there are so many cool powers we could give people.
Right. Yeah. That's why... So I'm thinking in terms of, like, what the character is going for. Like, Nerissa, she's not going to be on the front line. She's not going to be fighting that much. Having her have X-ray vision sort of thing and the sight and everything.
We haven't really talked about it. Like, we have these... You know, you're saying we have those two crews of people. Well, like, Nerissa is a trained military engineer. There's no reason she couldn't.
I'm not saying she couldn't, but in terms of, like, if you're scrapping together for survival purposes, they need her working on the Farfetch if they're going to get out of there.
Or if she's an engineer, then she's like, oh, okay, let me set up a few mortars. Let me set up some traps, and then I'm going to get back to work.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say that she's incapable.
She's a military engineer, so she'll set up some traps. She'll be sitting there with her gun right next to her while she's tinkering on stuff. Yeah. She hears stuff. She's at the ready.
She's a military engineer.
Like, I don't see Team her Fortress as a dog. Kaylee.
Yeah, she may be a military engineer, but Angela is a military
soldier.
Badass. Yeah, soldier. She's a soldier. Yeah, I don't see no reason being like, I can't fight anybody. No. I'm just a girl.
They wouldn't have sent her in this mission.
If she couldn't handle it, yeah.
No, I just mean like it's... I just want to make sure that all the characters have a certain, you know, balance to them.
Right. So that's why I'm still kind of spitballing. But on the idea, so the playing off of that, the idea of her seeing like a more like broader spectrum.
Yeah.
By seeing a broader spectrum, does that mean she could also see infrared and ultraviolet? And if so, she could see in the dark.
Oh. Yep.
No, I mean that's what I'm saying. I like the idea that Nerissa, I mean, just tying in with what you were going on, she can just tap into these other spectrums that the rest of the dogs can't.
Can you imagine some like weird scenes with like Nerissa and Angela like doing these like sniper missions where it's like it's pitch black dark and like Nerissa's like, you know, like says some coordinates and Angela's like, okay, I think I got him, you know,
like, or even then it's just like you put an infrared laser beam on the front of like a laser gun, so the infrared you can't see it at night, but Nerissa can. And Nerissa's looking through things and says, okay, aim a little higher. Little higher. All right, the dot's on him. She's like, are you sure? Because it's pitch black out here. I don't even know what it's like. Just trust me. Your dot's right on him. Just go ahead.
Just pull the trigger.
And then, oh yeah, he's down. You got him. It's like...
I am entirely down with
but
that.
But what I was going to say is, if we're giving one person the sensory, and I'm loving Nerissa with like the developing vision, should we give Angela something else besides smell? Like, the number one rule of like, I know we love the idea of her with having this... smell.
Maybe she's already got decent smell.
I'm up for changing it. Yeah, I'm up for changing
it. Right, kill your darlings. Like,
yeah.
Like,
okay. So what was okay? So, are we cool with Nerissa with the vision?
Absolutely.
That sounds neat. Yeah.
Okay.
I really like the idea of her just like having developing these.
All right. So we'll table that, and let's try and rework because we still got Kane Corso. If we can
kid
a kid and we got to think of a better thing for Angela.
I mean, maybe kid can like kind of like. My mind was going down the lightning path. Mm-hmm. Like maybe she can generate a modicum of electricity,
kind of like the Doctor Doom movie version. Like he's just lightning powered.
Not straight up lightning powers, but just enough to like create a kind of a spark. Battery. Like she could generate some power, enough power to do stuff, but not for too long.
Like, if you touch her, you get an electric shock, and maybe, that's why she's, like, rogue, and like, don't touch
me. If she carries a bandolier of batteries around with her, like, she can
charge them.
But it's more that she could, like, short-circuit machinery.
Oh, shit. Which would help,
and
like...
And she's friends with a robot.
That's where I'm more going.
She is the straight-up lightning dog.
If Kid is the lightning dog... No, I mean, that could be cool.
Because think about it. We already have kind of been gearing Kid to almost be the mascot. You know, she's the one that doesn't really fit into anything else. She doesn't have any kind of formal training. She's there more as a work release program.
And if you wanted a way to tie this into Mad Max even more, she could just be old Kid later retelling the story of what it was like living on the planet with the lightning dogs.
And I love the idea of her being relayed this job, like, here, charged with batteries. Like, I hate doing this, and I get really hungry.
And could you... But could you imagine the tension? On
Do you know how much time it takes to make
thing,
it look like
Another thing I don't think we explained, Mike, is that you guys can please tell me if it's like, no, I don't agree with that. But the idea that most of the weapons that they use are laser-based, so we don't want bullets and, you know, okay, it's a little violent, you know.
Yeah.
So if it's like laser-based weapons and they run out of batteries, it's like, Kid, give me a charge! And it's just like, ah! And it's just like throwing it back. And meanwhile, they're getting, you know, overhead. Yeah.
And
so
Halloween
it's like,
Jack's like, what you doing there, Reiki?
Yeah, yeah. Like, there could be a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun to be had with that.
And
that
there, and really of course, good. Her, like, Super Smash is, like, an actual lightning
blast.
And
when she gets really mad, then, you know, like
and
a lightning
We did
thing.
Talk about the using the planet's crystals as a resource management.
That was something
thing.
You and I were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm down with that, but perhaps one of the ways that they do that is they retain the energy that Kid can generate.
Yeah.
So I am it's
and that's why the
Glampire
wants her because well now it's turned into Magneto and Rogue again. I'm sorry.
On the flip side, who gives a shit?
Because we can think of a better way to do it than
in the end, like Glampire, like
he wants them all dead anyway. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't like having her around would be bad because that means they're still going to be around. Someone's going to be around. He wants to purge this planet of this like lightning dog scum.
Once they've got the far fetch.
So let's try and get this so we can move on to things like Glampire or whatever.
I mean, really, the lightning dogs are an obstacle in the path of Glampire returning to the stars, which he's been trying to do for well beyond the extinction of humanity.
Yeah.
So
that's something we haven't even gotten into yet. But for the time being, we're going to say, Dingo Bark, Beast Hound laser vision, the laser eyes, Pierre is still quick.
Yep.
Narissa is going to have the vision
sight
spectrum,
beyond sight.
Which is pretty cool, sight beyond sight.
We're not going to call it that, but yes.
Yeah, but that's, you know, you get it. Kid is going to be like the battery, just energy, just pure energy.
Basically.
She generates energy, basically.
Yeah, she's like Electro.
Yeah, there you go. Kane Corso, we're still on the fence about.
I do like the idea of like maybe...
Static, though, not Electro, like she's just like... It's very minor.
Yeah,
she's
not Storm. She's not going to throw lightning.
Only on, like, once again, Smash level.
Like once every three seasons.
Like, I like King Corso. I do like the idea of him kind of having some being able to, like, see through Earth, being able to kind of manipulate it very minor. And then once he, like, if he gets the crystal hand, he can manipulate that.
Right. So, okay, so let's think of it this way. So if we got, Narissa's got the sight, and everyone else has got their powers, what's something that would fit in with that that doesn't feel like a version of someone else? Because if you can see through the Earth, well, Narissa's got whatever. You know,
yeah, let's think of something else for Kane Corso and for
Kid. I'm sorry, Kid's
for
done.
For
Angela. Yeah. Oh,
you got something.
You have an idea?
I heard an inspired gasp.
So I was going back to the whole, like, back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, there's this whole reign of TV shows of, like, super-powered people. Heroes and 4400 and all that. I'm like, what are the basic powers? And I'm like, and one of them is, of course, being able to see the future. And so I'm thinking, well, how cool would it be to have someone who has kind of questionable moral, like loyalties, can see flashes into the future?
Hmm.
A guy with one foot in the past can see into the future.
I always want to shift it toward... Now, there's no reason we need to, like, live by this edict, but, like, I always want to make it something that'll be a cool action figure.
That's true.
And,
that's true.
And I think that the, like, whereas the outright geomancy seems like way too much for Kane, the whole thing where he gets like that, he might get a diamond dog arm that, like, he could, like, it could turn into like an axe, or it could turn into something like something
that.
Like,
is that, a badass action figure.
That's an action figure. And I want to do that really badly. And we got to figure out how we validate that.
You know what we can do? I mean, that can even, because the diamond dog's going to be able to do that shit. they're going to be able to.
Right.
So, we actually hadn't discussed it, but that sounds cool.
I mean, why not? We can have the Diamond Dogs do that, so he can do it on a much more limited scale.
So maybe he does have the power of being able to see in the future, which he may lose at some point.
Or it's limited by, but this way he has something that is unique and different from the rest of the Diamond, from the rest of the Lightning Dogs, that we can still give him badass crystal arm later that will have multiple attachments.
Or he's like, I don't have a power, what the fuck? He actually has a power that he learns right away, and it's the power to hear exceptionally well, which means that he's always privy to anything anyone's saying, and he can manipulate the fuck out of absolutely everyone because he knows what's happening all around
him. Holy monkey.
Done.
It's not much of an action feature for an action figure, but
if he then gets, because he hears how no one trusts him.
Dude, I just thought of a great thing. King Corso can hear that things that no one else can hear. That means if he was going to maybe someday talk to Glampire, and Glampire, they're working in cahoots or whatever, Glampire can send out just radio waves that he could hear, but Narissa could probably see it. She wouldn't know what's being said. She's just like, man, there's someone's
And then she talks to Kid, and Kid gets the robot to intercept.
Yeah. So like, there's a way that it's like a chess game back and forth where it's like, Narissa can see there's radio waves. Not really. It looks like they're coming from way over. They're miles away, man.
Isn't that the direction? Isn't that Glamp from Glampire?
Yeah, and Kid is like, I can't hack into this. It's like encrypted or something. And then meanwhile, Kane's just like, that's really strange. Yeah, I don't know what that could possibly mean. You know, but he's hearing it all.
And then he slinks off.
Just as an archetype thing that this is going to tie into. Think about the antagonist, you know, the questionably antagonistic character in these teams. Who do they normally butt heads with? The leader.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a guy who can hear really well, who's going to be abnormally angry at a guy against the leader. Yells.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
You're infernal barking. No, that's it. I can't. That has to be it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. And then he eventually gets
the hand that he can control because that's a part of the diamond, the crystallization.
He stuffs the diamonds in his ear so he doesn't have to hear that shit. No, that's great. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, that just leaves Angela.
Yeah, so Angela. So
Do we just want to make Angela really fucking tough?
I was thinking about that.
Because honestly,
I keep looking, not necessarily to the healing standpoint. She can punch a rock and kind of crack it, you know?
Just really, really tough skin.
I figure Pierre could do that if he's moving fast enough.
No, right, but it's still going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah. He's got brittle, delicate fingers.
But she's already so strong to begin with, was the idea.
No, but that's
going to be an enhancement of that.
Yeah, like some pounds on it.
No, but by giving her just kind of like this semi-indestructibility, like she's still too small to like shield everyone.
Right. But she will run in like a goddamn wrecking ball.
That could be an interesting dude. That it's, if we're going to tug at the heartstrings a little bit, it would be interesting if one of the Lightning Dogs gets hurt and she was like, I could have stepped in the way. I could have done something, but I'm just too small.
Right.
Like the thing's going to crush Narissa and she's trying to catch it, but she just can't do it because she's just too small to do it.
I think that could be hurtful.
Every
time I've drawn Angela, I just picture her bursting through walls. I don't know why.
That's the reason.
So maybe she can have a boost in strength
and just durability.
Durability. Yeah. And it's definitely not... She.
And who's the last person you'd want to be even stronger? Well, the firecracker, you know?
Right.
She's not so like tough that if she takes a laser beam, she can just deflect it.
Right, not like that.
It's still going to burn her.
Yeah,
but you try to hit her like a rock club or something, it just shatters.
She won't even move, and she just glares at you.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we've all experienced, most of us have experienced a thick-headed dog where you just watch them run into a wall or something and then just look at you like, did you put that there?
Yeah.
When the Farfetch'd explodes, like there could be this horrible emotional scene where like she gets the bunch of rubble falls on her basically, and Dingo's like, all right, we're out of here, we're smashing this thing, like Angela's dead, we're gone, and then she gets out of it. She's like, the Farfetch'd explodes, the lightning goes out, and she tossed this rock over, and she's like, whoa, what's everybody crying about?
No, wait, no, that's something great, something, yeah. Something even different, because we've all, I'm hard on for Dingo getting this eye scar when it all happens.
Yeah.
You mentioned that she's too small to shield someone.
Yeah.
She steps in front of Dingo, because, like,
I'm talking about when she has her power.
I understand, but she steps in front of Dingo. Now, obviously, this isn't going to kill them. But she steps in front of Dingo to try and shield him from the blast, she's too small to stop whatever the hell it is that hits him in the head from hitting him in the head, potentially killing him.
I think that's not a bad idea. I think, I really like the instead the positioning, like in order to discover that.
I think it's better for her. No, that's a good idea.
No, I recognize that her finding that out later would be a better emotional development for the character, right. But I feel like that might be some decent foreshadowing.
Well, I like the idea of the reveal for her.
Because she
power.
Can be a little cocky, you know, because if like, dude, if everything bounces off you and you're a soldier, you're going to get a little cocky. Like, just be like,
no,
just,
and she's already
out there and start kicking
right.
some ass.
No, I like it the reveal. I was just going to say, I really like the reveal of like everything collapses and everyone's like, where's Angela?
She's
oh my
dead.
God,
yeah,
she's dead. She did, and she just busts out. I was like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah,
like, I think that's a better reveal.
No, that's a strong reveal, but I like the idea too of we've got this soldier who has made it to this point in her career through reliance on her skills and her abilities. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden she's got this catch all. She can't really be hurt, so she starts to fall off of that. And mistakes are made.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
when we get into, yeah. her, get into her, somebody yeah, yeah. getting hurt.
Her Achilles heel
sudden,
is her size. And that's something you could never change.
And
so.
she has to all of a sudden, then we go back with this like whole arc of her getting back to form, training back up. She can rope the other two soldiers into it with her because I can't wait to really explore that relationship.
That's yeah, yeah. I agree. That
I mean, because
really
I
cool.
just imagine like if you're super fast, you're just like, you're definitely going to get lazier. Like, whatever, I'll do that in 5 minutes. What does it matter? I'm still going to do it three times faster than
you're
you.
You're going to have me run laps there, Angela?
Sounding board, Mike. How's this sounding you so far?
Sounds really good. I like it a lot. This sounds really fucking amazing.
All right, guys. So we've been talking for a while. We're going to keep talking about Lightning Dogs. Nothing's going to stop us, but we got a break here. And next episode, there'll
two-parter?
Be even more Lightning
what?
Dogs. Yeah.
Next time on Lightning Dogs. More concepting, additional ideas, perhaps even a sketch or two.
A room.
Who the hell was that guy? I'm the announcer.
Sorry, Wolfman. Didn't mean to step on your toes.
I got no toes.
All right.
This
so
got meta.
We're heading off. We're going to be back next week with even more Lightning Dogs. Thank you for listening. That kicks ass that you've listened. If you got a comment you want to leave us, please do. If you want to comment about Lightning Dogs, if you like any of the ideas we have, if you don't like any of the ideas from this episode, let us know. Go to lightningdogs.com. There's a link to the forums. There's a link to where you can submit fan art. There's a link to where you can check out concept art. And of course, all of our past episodes are there. We are on SoundCloud now. We're also, basically, our hosting for the shows used to be proprietary on nerdshow.com. Now it's on SoundCloud. That means that now you can comment directly at certain time codes on the episode. You can share things easier. You can interact with us in all kinds of new ways. And in addition to being on SoundCloud, we're also uploading all our new episodes and some of our old episodes to YouTube. So basically, there's every conceivable way for you to share the show. And if you're listening to this show on one of those two things, then you should like us.
And subscribe.
Yeah. And yes, and share. And
add us
and
to your favorites
and
your watch later list.
No,
and
not Sunny.
I want all of you people, if you're in any of this, give us some kind of an indication. Anything.
We want to know you're out there.
Yeah.
Shoot like Wolfman just broadcasting into the wastelands like...
Oh, I wish somebody called in someday. Just know I'm not alone out here, but it's been a long time.
If you like the show, if you like Lightning Dogs, please support Nerdy Show. We're an entirely listener-supported network. All of our podcasts, including this one, as well as Nerdy FM, our 24/7 streaming nerd music radio station at nerdy.fm, is all supported by you. If you send us even a dollar, we give you hours and hours of outtakes and bonus content of all sorts, which is a full list of online, sent to your email. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support, enter your dollar amount, and we will thank you most graciously. Speaking of awesome people donating to us, we got to give some shout-outs because some awesome people have donated to us. Garrier says, I'm really enjoying the increase in articles and the porting of episodes to YouTube and SoundCloud. It makes it a lot easier to spread the word. Why, thank you, Garrier. It delights us to hear that the word is being spread. You, sir, are a champion. Crystal Quibel says, I'm a huge nerd and somehow just discovered you through your Weird Al interview episode, and I love you guys already. Had to donate to what is obviously a super awesome nerd podcast. Well, Crystal, that's awesome. First time listener, first time donor, we must have done something right. Really glad you enjoyed the show, and hope you enjoy this one too. If any of you are new to Nerdy Show in general, don't forget, if you go to nerdyshow.com, there's a button on our front page that says Nerdy Show's Greatest Hits. And that's where we archive all of our biggest episodes. So if you're looking for somewhere to start peeking around in the archive of this, our flagship podcast, that is where you should go. Mauron says, thanks for the new D&D. Can't wait for the Cthulhu episodes. And dude, we can't wait to put them out. Really sorry. It's taken a little bit longer than we expected, but I think you're going to find they're well worth it. And finally, Damien contributed for a second time this month. Super crazy, ludicrous, generous. Says a little more love for the Nerdy Show crew. Thank you so much. And shout out to Ethan Kruger and Anna Barich, who donated as well. As of this episode's recording, we're at $195. That's just $5. And we hit the $200 mark. And that means that you get to pick what we talk about for a 15-minute microsode. So if you're listening to this and that hasn't yet happened, you should totally get in on that. Also, we're 4 days away from the end of the month. And at $195, that puts us at $105 away from our minimum goal of $300 that we need to run the network bare bones every month. So if you have anything to spare in this month of July 2014, we could sure use it. If you like the show, if you like Lightning Dogs, vote with your dollar and send a little love Nerdy Show's way. We would very much appreciate it. We know you shop on Amazon. Don't pretend you don't. We know you do. And we do too. But if you shop on Amazon, then you can also support Nerdy Show at the same time. There's an Amazon link on our front page. It'll take you to where you can go to either the US, the UK, or the Canadian Amazon store. And anything you were already going to buy on Amazon, if you buy it via our links to Amazon.com, we will get a portion of it. No extra money, just what you were going to do anyway. All you got to do is do it through our links, and Nerdy Show gets a cut. It's amazing. That's one way that if you can't just give us money, that's a way that you can give us money. If you buy something big, if you're like, I bought the entire collection of X-Files, then like send us an email at info@nerdyshow.com. We'll give you a shout out.
That might inspire us to do some X-Files type stuff.
I mean, it's hard to top interviewing Chris Carter, but there's always more.
I'm just saying.
So there's links on all over nerdyshow.com as to where you can go to interact with us in those various facilities. So please do. Thank you so much for listening. Lightning Dogs will return next week. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm X.
Bye, I'm Tony.
Bye, I'm Mike.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Taking us out is a brand new track from the Proto Men. Yes, that's right. They have a covers album coming out this fall, and currently they're on the Warped Tour. An unlikely place for Proto Men to be, but this year they're in good company along with MC Chris, I Fight Dragons, and Biebs and Her Moneymakers. Kay and I recently braved the angsty wilds of Warped Tour and hung out with the Protos. It was a blast. And on this tour, you can buy an exclusive lanyard, which has a code for the cover-up EP, which is a four-track preview of their upcoming covers record. Now, if you know the Proto Men, and you know their style of music, and you know the style of music that we typically play on Lightning Dogs episodes, then I think a lot of what's going to be on this record is going to be a good fit for Lightning Dogs. How could we not play the Proto Men covering Giorgio Moroder and Kenny Loggins in the immortal cock rock classic, Danger Zone? Oh, hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Well, I've got some sexy secret things to tell you. Not really too secret. I do say them at the end of every episode. But if you liked what you heard, it is imperative that you follow my every word. First, I want to thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows in the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or, most importantly, by directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show outtakes, dramatic readings, images, and other crazy stuff, and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. But if you really want to level up, find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Just visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. So to recap, tell a friend, donate to the show, and connect with the entire Nerdy Show Network crew online. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
Bark.
Woof.
Dog noise. Very wow.
Wow, 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 wow. So much lightning.
Much lightning.
Lightning doge.
Lightning, lightning, lightning.